All right, take your Bibles and turn with me over to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. I just want to we'll use this, and then we're going to jump over to the book of Philippians here in just a moment. But we are on Wednesday nights going through the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we talked about the fruit of joy. The next in our list, as we would read it, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. It seems to be that there is a list of three groups of three that are listed here in this. And we would conclude this evening the first group, the first bundle of the three. Love, joy, and peace. And as they are bundled together, it is interesting, as love is the header of all of these fruit of the Spirit. And as love is this agape, a self-surrendering, a fully sacrificial love for God, a dedication to Him, but also an action of love for others. Not a me first mentality, but others first, or God first and then others. And then we have joy. We talked about joy last week. Joy is a byproduct of finding a deep, fulfilling relationship with God, which is creates in a heart of a believer a time of rejoicing and praise for who God is and for what He has done. Joy is not a product that you buy at the store, or you buy in a vacation pamphlet, or you get in a prescription of medicine. It's not joy. You may temporarily find some happiness and relief from something, but true joy is a state of being in a relationship with God and realizing His grace that has been given to us, and having a theology of God that comes out in our life of rejoicing no matter the circumstance. We rejoice for who God is and for what He has done for us. When we come to peace, we have here peace is a state of mind that results from God's love and God's joy that has been given to me as a gift that brings about a settled rest. So peace here is the presence of love settling in and resting in the God of love. It's quietly resting as love manifests itself in this peace. Now, the Society of International Law in London stated that the last 4,000 years of human history, only 268 of those 4,000 years have been without some kind of war or conflict. That's over 85% of history, or at least 4,000 years of that history, which goes back pretty close to the time of Abraham. And we could probably add on there a couple more thousand years and realize that it's just going to add more years of war. There have been 8,000 peace treaties in that process of history, going all the way back to ancient history, even to the most present history. And all of them have been broken. All 8,000. June 1919, at the Palace of Versailles, outside of Paris, at the end of the war to end all wars, the Great War, the Treaty of Versailles was signed. Peace to the world! A treaty of peace, finally! And within, 15, 18 years, the world was again in a catastrophe, in a worldwide war. And there is so much that people long for peace, but just can't find it. Can't find it. The reason is because peace is not a circumstance in nature. There's not a utopia out there that peace is just going to come, or that you're going to find, that you can get in your car and go drive into it because there's peace, right? Peace is not a treaty that's going to be signed by a group of people, by someone who's in power and has enough power that can produce peace, whether it's in the Middle East are in America or at some G summit somewhere, it's not going to be signed on a piece of paper. Peace is not a product that you buy from the store, just like joy is not a product that you buy from the store. In fact, peace is not the cessation of activity or termination of hostility or an elimination of adversity. You see, we often think that of peace as the absence of something. We think of it in the negative term. It's the absence of war. To us, peace is a negative absence. We think peace is something that comes when there's no fighting, when there are no guns, when there's no violence, when there's no bad things, when there's no conflicts of religion, when there's no guns. So if we can get rid of the guns, if we can get rid of the religion, if we can get rid of, the racial discriminations, if we can get rid of some of these, if we can make the laws, then we can have peace. That's exactly what's going on. It's been happening for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, all the way back to the time of Cain and Abel. Peace. Peace is not any of those things. Peace, in fact, is taught from the Bible as the presence of something divine. It's not the absence of something. It actually is the presence of something. It is a condition of the heart, a state of mind. The Jewish people would use this word peace in the Hebrew language as the word shalom. It would be used as a greeting, and it would be used as a farewell. Shalom. Shalom, shalom. All right. And this peace, this shalom, was a blessing. It was seen as it is being blessed of God. It is when God comes and brings his blessing upon his people. That's peace. David named his son Solomon. Peace. Thinking that he would bring to the nation of Israel peace. Because David was promised that one day there would come out of his loins a prince of peace. It didn't take him long to realize that Solomon was not the one that was going to bring peace. He did bring temporary peace, at least an absence of war in some ways. But he aligned himself in his marriages, his many marriages, with all of the nations around him to get that. So he had to sin to find peace with nations as he had multiplied upon himself his wives. But it was only temporarily peace. Theologically, peace is the consequence of a healing of the heart. A once person who is separated from God, who is now brought into the presence of God, and because of God's presence, who is peace, he brings peace. It is the presence. Peace is the presence of God. There is no such thing as true shalom or true peace without God. That's why our world can't find it. The Greek word peace that is used in the New Testament, the word that is used here in this list of a fruit of the Spirit, means this: a state of freedom from anxiety and inner turmoil. In other words, from worry and this inner struggle within a person, this conflict of soul, this fear. That's conflicted. It pertains to a state of mind, not as much to a set of circumstances. It's a state of mind of resting. So as we see this, I want to talk just this evening about two aspects of peace that as the Bible connects with in the scripture. When we think about this fruit and how it should come out of our life, it's got to start in the heart first. It's got to start in the mind first before it can root itself out, before it can produce itself as a fruit out of our life. We've got to find the source. We've got to go to the root and see where does this peace going to come from? If I'm going to display this type of peace in my home, if this is a state of mind, if this is a place where my heart is in, even though my feelings aren't there, and my mind may be in the wrong place, then just like joy, it's connected together. It is a choice of drawing close to the Lord. And there's a lot the scripture will talk about peace. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. I want to talk about, first of all, the peace that we have with God. Because there is no peace to the life of anyone without the presence, true peace, without the presence of God. And in Romans chapter 5, in Paul's discussion about the Christian life and the believer who finds justification in God, who comes to God, realizes that he can't merit his own salvation, realizes he can't justify himself by the works of the law. But when he comes to the grace of God by faith in the promises of God, that's chapter 4 and verse 20, he staggers not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Talking about Abraham here. And then you look at verse chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the peace with God? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 talks about the fact that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world. We were the children of disobedience. And in Ephesians chapter 2, in talking about the enmity that we had with God, we were at enemies with God because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of the sin, for the wages of sin is death. But in Ephesians chapter 2, turn over there. I think it'd be good. Flip our Bibles, keep you awake, keep you going on, following along in the scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 12. Look at the argument here. After we have received grace in verse 8, not by works, lest anyone would boast. And we realize that we find joy in the suffering itself. But that we find joy in what God can do through that suffering in our life by conforming us into the image of His dear Son. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I have a whole lot of notes here, but I got 2 minutes that I want to give it to you. As he talks about this, he is a command. This is a command, just like the one in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. But here it's in the phrase of stop worrying for all things. Okay, he says for nothing. Okay, stop being anxious. Stop worrying. Stop having these cares on you all the time. Very interesting. I was talking to Mrs. Margaret Campbell after the service. I found this in my study this week. The old English word worry has its roots coming from the German word, Vergen, meaning to choke. She kind of thought it was interesting that that word and the word worry would kind of have a similar path. The German word has this idea to strangle. You know, you're murdering somebody at that point, right? You can't breathe. And somehow, back a long time ago, the English word that kind of got into this worry became known as this idea of this mental strangulation. This mental choking in your mind and in your heart, worrying about something that you can't even breathe. This state of anxiety that comes in the life of a person, it is the very opposite of peace and rest and contentment. Believers have a lot to worry about, don't we? I mean, when we actually think about it, we're not exempt from worry and anxiety and stress. I mean, you think about it, you just turn on the radio, turn on the TV. There's a lot to worry about in there. I mean, if we're going to be honest, just in our human nature, I mean, let's look at our country and what's going on. Just look at our economy. Look at the war that's going on in Ukraine. Look at what's happening on the streets in Huntsville, Alabama. Look at what's going on in our public schools. Look at what's going on in our culture and society. And on top of that, believers aren't exempt from sicknesses. You're not exempt from slicing your hand open on your way to a ladies' fellowship. Okay? You're not exempt from struggles with your children and your grandchildren walking away from the Lord. You're not exempt from experiencing hardship economically or receiving a pink slip from your job. Okay? Even Christians have burdens and cares and struggles in our life too. The difference is, do you have the peace of God? And it's interesting that Paul would actually say here to the Christians, you don't have anything to worry about. Paul, in prison. I mean, if anybody could have complained, if anybody could have worried about stuff, Paul could have been there. I mean, look at all the churches he could have planted. Look at the churches that he left without pastors. Look at all that they could do for God. Look at all the stripes that he has on his back. Look at all the situation. He's there and he doesn't even have a cloak, you know, possibly at least the second time he's in prison and his life circumstances. But yet in this book, he writes both rejoicing and having joy and having peace. Having peace. Did you notice the phrase just before the verse that we read at the end of verse 5? That little sentence, the Lord is at hand. Now that, if you got a different translation, that would say the Lord is near. Right? It's not, I don't believe, it's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. Even though there could be a reference to that, I think the primary purpose, and I've read several commentators this week that indicated this phrase, the Lord is near, is a recognition of the presence of the Lord with the Philippians, with the believers at Philippi. Paul is telling them, you don't have anything to worry about because your God is right next to you. He's never left. And what do you have to be afraid of? If you have the God of the universe that is always with you, what did Jesus say to the disciples in John chapter 14? After they were troubled in their heart, he said this in verse 27. To these disciples who were worried and afraid and anxious, Jesus said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. The peace that you have with God. And notice in the connection this evening, be careful for nothing, but in everything. This is how you don't focus on all of the burdens. You say, well, it's easier for you to say you don't have cancer. It's easier for you to say, Pastor, you don't have a child that's away from the Lord. Easier for you to say, Pastor, you don't have a boss that is over you that's hard to work with. Well, listen, here's the way you deal with worry. Here's why Paul could say that we don't have to be anxious or worry for anything. Yes, because God is near. But also because what we can do is we can take those worries and those burdens and those struggles that seem too hard for you to bear, which they are. And you can pray, supplicate, and request. You notice those three words that are in the verse? Three times. Three words that are pretty much the synonyms for pray. Pray. Supplication. Request. Let them be known to God. Because He can do something about it. He is a God who cares. Take it to Him. Take your worry. Take your cancer, take your struggling relationship, take your difficult job situation, take your money issues, take your physical pain and your struggles, and take it to the Lord in prayer because He cares for you. And in the response, what He will do is He will give you a peace that only comes from God. In other words, we know whose peace this is. It's not your peace. It's God's peace. And what God will do as you carry your burdens to Him and you pray. And one of these words to supplicate means, or even request, means a petition. It means bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. And every time you think about it, bring it to Him. You wake up tomorrow, it's still there. Bring it to Him again. Bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. And when you do that, God will then exchange what He has, His peace, and he will bring it to you. And it's a peace that is far beyond our understanding. And what it will do is it will guard, it will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. One of the great hymns of the faith that we sing oftentimes comes from a father of five who was a Presbyterian faithful member. And we all know the story of Horatio Spafford, who lost his family in a very terrible accident in Lake Michigan. Maggie, Annie, Bessie, and Tanetta, who all drowned in their watery graves. Mrs. Spafford was the only one that was saved. And when Horatio was standing on the ship carrying him to rejoin his sorrowing wife in Wales, the ship passed the approximate place where his precious daughters had drowned. And overwhelmed with grief, he took out a legal pad and he wrote, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Father, I pray as we close this evening, thank you for the peace that you can bring with you, and thank you for the peace that we can have of God that can keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In your name that we pray.